How are you all today?
Great. Amen.
Amen. So what kind of school is this?
Healing.
Amen and amen. This is healing school. So we are going to be talking about healings, but we're going to hit it from a spiritual perspective. Amen. So I got a couple people, you know, we've been walking this stuff out for a few months together, haven't we? And so we've got a couple of testimonies I'd like to share with you if you got a minute. Elijah, would you come up? This is Elijah Thomas, and he has a short testimony for us. That's because you're less than 5'8".
Just briefly, guys, about 4 or 5 weeks back, you recall, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And I just wanted to share with you, as of today, I am lung cancer free. Thanks for the prayers of the righteous prevailed much. And that's why it's very important that we're separate, but we're an entire body. Through our prayers, God, I just want to share with you that continue to pray, because prayer, so the righteous does prevail it much, because everything was cut in 50%. Man said it was going to take 7 treatments, but God came back and said only 4.
Praise the Lord.
So I am cancer-free, healed with the completeness. So you guys continue to keep me in your prayers as God continue to move within me so I can be a work in His kingdom. Thank you
Amen.
Very much.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, come on up, sis. Come on up. Come on.
We're standing there just singing in the spirit. I could see this bright light just shining down on me. And it was just so glowing. And it was all I could do to stand. And I could just sense angels just walking among us. I could just feel the presence of God. Oh, God, it was powerful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. He's with us. He is absolutely with us. Judy. I'm telling you, this is a glory to God place. And it's not this building. It's us as His buildings. Amen. Being built together, living stones.
Last week, I mentioned about my granddaughter, and she's doing better. She's still home. My daughter-in-law is taking her back to the doctor for another lung x-ray today. So I don't know. She still had it in the one lung, but she's fighting with Abram, her brother. So that's a good. That's a good thing. And taking toys away from him and eating better. So she's on the mend. And about how many years ago, back in the 70s, Grant hurt his knee. He did construction, so I guess he was always getting hurt. I wasn't around then, but in the 70s, he hurt his knee, your right knee, right? And he fell about 2 weeks ago. I've tripped over the dog's toys, is what it was. They have a rocking chair that they like to rock in. And he tripped over the dog's rocking chair. And he's really had a lot of trouble with that knee ever since. And he was up just about all night the other night. I didn't even know it, but he was up just about all night with pain in that knee. And it had a little, like a little lump in it that you could move, and it was just, anyway. So I got tired of it when I heard he was up all night with pain. So we prayed over that thing, rebuked that thing in the name of Jesus. And the pain left right away. He hasn't had, that was about 4 or 5 days ago, and he hasn't had any pain since. I hear him walking through the house saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My knee is healed in the name of Jesus." So he's walking through the house saying that all the time.
I got to tell you, that really blesses me. We're doing it, you guys. We're facing battles, and we're handling them spiritually and seeing spiritual results manifesting in the natural. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory that you are so faithful, that your word is absolutely true and it's working in us, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory because it's all by your spirit, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God is so good to us, isn't he? You know what? He will be good to anyone that will believe him and press in. Anyone that will believe him and press in. And if you do believe him and press in, you will get the same results that he got. He will. So last week, what did we talk about? Being in Christ. I know it was a long time ago, you guys. We were talking about being in Christ, right? And what does that mean to be in Christ? That everything that Jesus is, we are also. And why is that so? Because when Adam sinned, it affected all men, all women, all peoples of the earth. Is that right? So, when Adam, the first Adam, sinned, it affected all mankind. Then when the last Adam, who is a life-giving spirit, became sin for us and died on the cross, he gave us his righteousness in return. And when God raised Jesus up from the dead, we all raised with him. Just like Adam's sin affected all mankind, Jesus' resurrection affected all mankind. It's a done deal for all human beings. Now, if you don't believe it, you will get none of it. That's why we have to know that we are in Christ. Because here's the truth. What you really believe, your real belief, not what you talk to yourself about necessarily, your real belief is the results you're going to get in your life. And we talked about, do you see yourself as a flesh and blood person on the earth, and therefore you're waiting for God in heaven to do something to help you as an earth person? Or do you really believe what Jesus said, that God took him and sat him at his right hand, and we have been conveyed into the love of his dear son? If we've been moved into the kingdom of God with him, if you will believe that, then you will operate from that perspective of your real identity. It's the real you is seated with Christ. Do you still have a flesh body on the earth? Yes. But the place that you think from, you reason from, and you identify from is from a heavenly point of view, already being resurrected with God. That's the real you. And when that real you, the real how you see yourself, let me just give a little example. This is a bad example, but it's one that just came to my mind, so I'm going to share it. I used to exercise. I want to qualify the word used to. I used to exercise. And I started going to the gym and doing aerobic classes and getting on the treadmill and all these other machines, and I'd lift the weights, and I would go to get in shape again and to get strong again, because I had a very demanding job in real estate and I needed to be available a lot of hours, so I had to have a lot of stamina. And so I was in the gym working out, and I would go to the gym and I would eat healthy and I'd do protein shakes and I'd lift that weight and I would be getting in really good shape. There was one day that I was doing squats in front of the mirror. It's just where they have the squat machine set up, the whole wall's mirrors. And as I'm squatting down and I'm lifting up and I look and I just saw myself in the mirror. I said something in my heart. I said, I'm a weightlifter. I'm a bodybuilder. And you know what? I had never intended to be a bodybuilder. I had never intended to be that kind of a person that is into building their body. I just wanted to be stronger and be able to have the stamina to do my job. But I saw the results of that activity and what it was turning me into, right? I identified now as a bodybuilder. So I had to tone it down and drop back a little bit because I saw that that wasn't where my priority was at. I didn't want to be a gym rat and one of those guys that's all consumed with how he looks. So I stopped working out. Maybe I shouldn't have stopped completely. Maybe I shouldn't have. Here's the point. That day when I saw myself, I realized something about me. The truth about my life was I was a bodybuilder. I never thought about that before. I just exercised. But that revelation when I looked in the mirror that my body lined up with being a bodybuilder. That's the same way it is with each one of us. As we get in the Word, and as we pray in the Spirit, and as we confess what Jesus says and the Father says, and we say the same thing He says, and we keep it up and keep it up, there will be a day when it dawns on you that as He is, so am I in this world. That everything that He is, I am too. I'm not second best. I'm not second class. I'm not being withheld anything from God. It's all mine, 100%. And you'll get that. And all of a sudden, you'll start operating from that place. Amen? But it takes doing the work until you can see the results. Okay? It's always true. It's always been true. But the truth is, the human condition blinds us to our spiritual attributes. The human day blinds you to the things of God. This world will not show you who you are in the Spirit. This world will do everything it can to conform you to its image, to hem you in and to compress you into the mold of someone in this earth. Amen? Go with me in your Bibles to Colossians. Ready? Go to me with in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. We're going to do some of 1, some of 2, and some of 3 in Colossians. We're just going to use this as our jump-off point. Last week I only used one scripture, and then I gave you a token scripture at the end. So I want to use a couple of scriptures today so that we make sure we stay founded in the Word of God. Are you with me? Colossians 1:27. We're going to read parts and pieces all the way to 3:10-ish. Can I start? Verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery that has been revealed to the world, that it's Christ in you, your hope for His glory. That was a mystery. That was hidden from people for years and ages and generations. But now it's been revealed to us that it's Christ in us and the hope of His glory. When we get that, that it's Christ in you. You're in Him, and He's in you. And I've given you the example of air, where we're in the air, and the air is in me. And the air that is in me gives me life. And there's as much air as I want. I never have to beg or plead for the air. The Spirit of God is in me, and I have all that I need, because all of the Spirit of God that's in me gives me life, sanctifies me, enables me. Right? I don't have to struggle for it. It's freely given to me and to you. Right? At the same time, I'm in the air. Not up in the air. I'm in this atmosphere. We are in Christ, and everything that He's entitled to, we're entitled to. Everything that He is seated on the throne, we are, if we can believe it. So not only are we positionally in Him and have all that He is, but He has put His Spirit in us, so that from the inside out, we can manifest who He is on this earth. That's a full, complete job. He did the full job. So let's continue to read. I'm just going to stay where we are. Verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. So this is what we do. Jesus is who we preach. And we warn everyone and teach everyone in all wisdom. Listen, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So that we can bring every single person to the fullness of Jesus Christ. That each person can manifest the fullness of Jesus in who they are. You know, we got a little work to do ahead of us. Amen. We got a little work to do. People may go to church, but they may not necessarily have this revelation that I'm sharing with you right now. It takes time. It really does take time to open up our hearts and our minds, that our spiritual eyes would be open, that our spiritual ears would be open, and that our hearts would be open and sensitive to the truth. that we no longer walk by this, but the reality of who we are here. Amen? And this reality has to be changed into the image of Christ. We have to believe God over what we see out of our eyes. Amen. Okay? This world will change by us believing differently, because we'll handle it differently. I'll leave it there. So let's go on. Starting in verse 29. To this end, I also labor, striving according to the working which works in me mightily. Verse 1, chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea, as for many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Look at, and attaining to all riches. That word is riches, wealth, total a blessed endowment of the full assurance of understanding, of the full assurance of understanding, being absolutely confident and understanding. We need to be completely confident in what this truth is that I'm telling you about. That you really are everything that Jesus is, and that God's holding nothing back, and that in the Spirit we are 100% just like Him, right? When you're seated in heaven, you're going to be fully you, but you're going to be fully Him too. That's a big deal, you guys. You're not going to replace Jesus as Jesus, but you're going to have the same anointing on you that He has on Him, because it's the same Spirit that's in Him, that's in me. It's His Spirit, right? Amen. It's His Spirit going on. To the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery that we just talked about, Christ in you, the hope of glory, of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where is wisdom and knowledge? Hidden in Him. So then, if I want more wisdom and knowledge, who do I got to hook up with? The Father and the Son. Not Pastor Trey. Not Robert. Not President Trump. Not the governor. Not the judge. Okay. Not Elijah either. The Father and the Son. We have to actually get to know them. You know that? You know, I'll tell you, when I was in fifth grade, God spoke to me and He said, there was a guy preaching and He told me, I was sitting on the pew, and He said, this is what I've called you to do. I got so scared, I stopped going to church. You know why? Nobody in my church told me God speaks to people. Nobody in my church ever told me that you can hear God and have a conversation with Him. It scared me. I said, God, I said, Lord, I'm just a kid. I haven't got a house or a car or a wife yet. That end times you're talking about, I'll tell everybody about you then. And I was in fifth grade and I stopped going to church because it scared me so bad. Yeah, well, about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was in a Lowe's parking lot cooking kettle corn in a 10 by 10 tent right at the front door of Lowe's. And the Holy Spirit walked into the room, or an angel of the Lord, whoever, but a very significant presence walked into that little tent I was in. And the glory and the power and the majesty of God was so strong, I fell to the ground. I was all by myself. I just fell to the ground. And the holiness and the majesty that filled that tent was overwhelming. I was standing on a carpet. I wanted to get underneath the carpet. He was so holy, just so majestic. And this is what he at that moment He walked in, He showed me what I said. He brought it to my attention. That end times you're talking about, I'll tell everybody about you then. He brought that up, and at the same time He said, it's time for you to honor our agreement. Who makes an agreement with a 10-year-old boy? God. God. He's been with me my whole life, whether I was aware of it or not. Amen. And He was holding me to that statement, that at those end times, I'll tell everybody about you then. And you know what? He's still with me, whether I know it or not. Same with you. But it does us well to get to know him. Is he knowable? And when you do, he'll share his wisdom because that's who he is. So the more we get to know him, the more of who he is will rub off on us, right? Let's go on. Verse 4 of chapter 2. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, do what? So walk in him. Rooted and built up, how? In him. And established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophies, empty deceits, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let's look at this. Philosophies. What are philosophies? A philosophy is a point of view. It's a way of looking at your situation. Is by the philosophy is the way that you choose to navigate your life. What are the truths that you believe that are that which navigates your decision-making process? What have you heard in your life that you agree with? And now you make your choices, you have your standard, you have how you spend your time according to your philosophy of life. Do you eat only vegetables? Can you eat pork fat? Do you eat only meat? You have a philosophy on how you approach your dietary habits. You have philosophies about all the things you do in your life. And the Bible says not to be cheated by that. By all those different ways of thinking, it'll rob you. And don't be cheated by those ways of thinking. The world is going to set a philosophy in you. It's going to set a way of thinking according to the way that you've been raised, where you were born on the planet, what color you are, how much money did you guys have? How much education did you have? Did you have an alcoholic parent? Did you have a drug addict parent? Did you have an absent parent? Did you have a loving, nurturing parent? Did you have two parents or one? All that stuff creates in you an identity that you live by, a philosophy. Let's go on. Be aware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. That's people trying to navigate you to believe things that are not true. But they are so persuasive that they convince you that it is. It's empty deceit. According to the traditions of men. In other words, they try to get you to do things the way they do them because everybody does it that way. Are you with me? No, I'm not going to say that. You know, stuff pops up, but not everything's a good example. Because I realize that every example I give, it lodges inside of you, and I don't want to put that in there. So this is the thing. This world has made an agreement on how we're going to handle things, okay? That's a principle that this world operates by. And do you know that in the spirit, you're not bound by that? You are not bound by the way this world operates in the spiritual realm. However, you are bound to obey those in authority over you and to submit to them. Let me just give you a little clue in this. Just because I'm obeying Fred because he's in charge does not take away from the fact that he has nothing to do with my identity and my authority and what I've been given by God. But out of respect for this authority, I obey him. I may be completely over him in the spirit and have so much more manifestation of Jesus than he does. It has nothing to do with what God's saying, though. in this world, if I have authority, I submit to that authority because it doesn't make my identity by the things in this world.
Right?
I can grow just as big in God as I want because it's Jesus, His Spirit, that's teaching me, not Fred. Right? But in this natural world, I obey Him. Here's the thing. Jesus, it says in Philippians, became a man and humbled Himself. And even though it wasn't stealing from God to say that I'm just like God, He lowered Himself to serve you and I, being the fullness of God. In other words, He was able to submit to this world without being dominated by this world. Are you with me? You're the same way once the light goes on inside of you. How do I say this, Lord? We are in the Spirit, which is outside of time and space. Okay? That's crazy talk, isn't it, you guys? You know, because your physical body is right here in this dimension right here. However, your heart's not, your spirit's not. The way that you think isn't limited to that. You can think about anything you want. In your heart, in your inner eye, in your the imaginations of your heart, if I tell you right now, soar, see yourself soaring to the moon, see the moon getting bigger, see yourself getting closer and closer to the moon, you can do that, right? And your body never left this room, and you can enjoy it. If I say, like this happened to my wife this morning, look at this beautiful beach, look at this beautiful room. Oh, we can have this vacation. All of a sudden, you let your heart go to daydreaming about it. You know that? You can feel all the feelings of being there, and all you're doing is daydreaming, right? You can do anything in your heart. If you'll go one step further than that, if you believe, you can do anything. Nothing's impossible to us who believe. But it takes us, this world has worked itself so into us that it's very difficult for us to just really let go and believe God. It really is. And all of us are in the same boat. That's why when we come together to church, we encourage each other. We speak to each other. We share love with each other. We build each other up because we can add that value to one another. Because we're all in this cauldron being cooked together. All of us are. Are you with me? So, look on a little further. Empty deceit according to the traditions of men. Look at according to the basic principles of the world. And not according to Christ. Some say the rudimentary principles of the world. In other words, all right, I'm going to really stretch you guys because a lot of us aren't even beginning to walk in these things. What's the principle in this world? What's a principle of this world? Shout it out. Gravity. Do you know gravity is a law, right? It affects all of us. Jesus defied gravity, didn't he? He walked on water, and it wasn't ice. He was not bound by the basic principles that this world operates by. Why? Because He's the creator of this world. He's outside of it. He's greater than the creation. He's the creator, right? Are you with me? Therefore, if you're in Him, who's the creator, oh gosh, what am I getting ready to say? Really? That you and I are also have that creative ability inside of us if we believe it's true. But there's a balance here between the natural speaking to us. I got this pain. Ow. It's talking. Ow. Ow. But I'm healed. Ow. I'm healed. Ow. By His stripes I'm ow. Which one do I believe? Who's speaking more? Who's speaking? See, the thing is, where I'm rooted in my heart, where I seat myself in my heart. Am I the Spirit of God? Am I the Son of God? Am I in Christ? Or am I in the flesh trying to get something that's in the Spirit? Or am I in the Spirit and the devil's trying to put something on my flesh? Remember, I was talking about this last week. It makes a difference where you're standing in your heart and what you believe. That's why we got to get to know the Lord. Amen. We get to get His wisdom and His knowledge. We have to get to know Him because He Himself is revelation. He himself is eternal life. And so many times, if we're not seeing the results, it's because we are separated from him. We may say it's true, but my walk is still, I'm a man of flesh trying to get the results of a spiritual man. Rather than I'm a spiritual man and I'm taking dominion over my flesh. Are you with me? Do you see the difference that I'm sharing with you? Is it making sense? Moving on. And not according to the principles of this world, but according to what? Christ. Messiah. The anointed one. Am I living as an anointed one? As Christ? Or am I living as a regular man or woman on the earth? Listen, we all get caught up in the flesh at times. We all get caught up in our earthly reality, especially if we're in chronic pain, especially if we have a physical disability, especially if something is speaking very loud and it doesn't obey us quickly and easily. When we're really got something hanging in there, it speaks. Not only does it speak, it changes the way we live our lives. We have to make considerations for it. Sometimes we need walkers, railings, special beds. Sometimes we have to sit certain ways or lay certain ways. We have to make provision for those things because it speaks so loudly, we're trying to comfort it any way we can to get it to not speak so loudly, right? That wears you out. It'll wear you out. Is Christ greater than that? Sure is, but you know what you need? You need three things. One, our mind being renewed. And that takes time to get to know the Lord and spend time with him and ask him, Lord, am I going to get rid of this pain? Am I going to have to keep this disability? And let him talk to you. You know here that you have authority over it, that you have to tell it to speak to it, and it has to obey you. But if you're not getting those results, you have to ask him, why not? And let him talk to you about that. Not only that, do you know that you have divine assistance? Divine assistance comes in. Sometimes there's angelic aid that helps us along the way. We don't teach that very much, but it's still very biblical and very real. And it didn't stop just because Jesus died on the cross. It's one of God's ways of operating is through divine assistance. And then sometimes God will even go so far as to interrupt the whole show and just do things himself. That's the rarest of all, because I believe this is my belief. See, this is Robert's belief. This is Robert's belief. It's his opinion. Okay. So, this is my opinion. I think that God has given us free will. That's my opinion. And your free will, you are going to get to exercise in your metron, in your sphere of influence. Whatever your geography is, whether it's on this planet or in relationships with people or the way that you think, you have your sphere of influence. And you have free will to make all the decisions for everything that comes into your realm, whether it's information, feelings, people, money, weather, whatever it is, you have free will to make your choices in all that interaction. And let's just say my free will is this big bubble. Everything I'm ever going to ever come in contact with is inside of this big bubble. Everything I'm ever going to deal with in my entire life that I get to choose my navigational way. Well, I got mine, and Fred's got his, and Evelyn has hers, and you have yours. And you have yours. And we all have our free will, and we all have our sphere that we get to influence and be influenced, right? And those bump into each other from time to time, like it is right now. We're all connected. But I believe that God, every so often, will come in and speak or touch a person and set them on a certain path, because their influence is going to touch all of our influences and take us all in the right direction. Are you with me? He'll do that by the Holy Spirit individually. He'll do it through angelic assistance. And he'll do it by him deciding to just do it of his own accord. Like when I had the Lord come to me that time, I didn't initiate it. I wasn't asking for it. He just initiated the whole thing all on his own. I never asked for it. But he knew, boom, it's time to go to here. And so he initiates that. It's the same way for you and I. Some things, listen, this is important. Some things you're going to deal with for a long time. Is that good news? No, not at all. But in 1 second, it can be gone. Ready? Can I give you a testimony? I was in Bible college, and I had some teeth, and they would abscess once in a while. And you know how they swell up, and the whole side of my face just got like an elephantitis. It was so big and gelatinous and just kind of hung there. It was gross, and I was in so much pain. And I prayed over it. I walked. I prayed. I spoke the word. I laid hands on it. I even smacked it a few times and said, "Go in Jesus' name." I did what I knew to do, right? This is going to be important. And it didn't go away. I remember I had a motorhome at the time because I was going to Bible college, so I bought a motorhome to stay in. That's a miracle of God, too, if I ever share that with you. But I'm laying on the bed in the motorhome, and I said this. I said, "Jesus, please forgive me. I know your word is true. I know it's true, but I don't believe it for me right now. This pain is bigger and speaking louder than I'm able to really believe you that it has to go when I tell it to go. Would you forgive me? I'm going to go to the dentist and get some antibiotics." I felt horrible that I had to go get antibiotics because I wanted to believe the Lord. I went and got the antibiotics and it went away. This is what the dentist said. He says, "You know, those are going to keep coming back every 6 months or so until you get those teeth jerked out." I said, "Uh-uh, no way." Those little words went right into my heart. So I was trying to fight. "No, those words are not true. Those words are not true." Guess what? Every 5 or 6 months or so, that little devil would come up and go, "It's becoming 5 or 6 months. It's becoming 5 or 6 months." And I can remember I was in Bible college one day, and I was giving a testimony saying, "You know, the dentist said in 5 or 6 months these abscesses would come back, and I've had no sign of them whatsoever." That night, guess what happened? That night, the abscesses flared up in me. I said, "I know by the stripes of Jesus that he took that I have victory over this." Right? My real belief was not that I had victory over it. My real belief was that when those things come, the pain is so great, I can't stand against it. That was my real belief. Did I say, "By his stripes I'm healed. Devil, you loose me. Tooth, you be made well. Gums, you be whole." All that, when I speak that stuff, I sure did. But you know, in my heart, I believed that if it flared up, I had no power over it. So every time that little clock ticked to 5 or 6 months, it would flare up again. I had to go to the dentist again for something else. The dentist says, "You need to jerk that tooth out." I said, "No," because there's two of them, one up here and one down here. I said, "No, that's my chewing tooth, and this one's in the front where you can see it. No, I'm not going to jerk it out. I'm going to believe God for my healing." He goes, "Well, it's getting to the place it's going to flare up quite a bit now." "No, I rebuke that in Jesus' name." All of a sudden, it builds a little sinus tract, which means it has a place to drain, so I'm not in any pain now. But the infection goes through my body every few months. And then for a week, I feel like crap. I can't think good. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I feel like I shouldn't even brought attention to the fact I said it. I should have just kept on going, huh? And I felt like garbage. And you know what? Can I work still? Can I do my job? Sure. But it steals from me a little bit all the time. Why? Because I didn't have faith that I could be healed by it. Because it was so painful. Other things, I get healed perfect. Can I pray for people and get healings? Oh, yeah. Do I pray for people and see limbs grow out? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But when it comes to my own stuff, am I having troubles? Because I feel it. It's in me and I got it. So I start praying, "Lord, you know what?" I started to get serious with God. And I said, "Lord, you have to help me think differently. You have to help me to see myself in victory. Because you're obviously not going to just jump in and fix it. So therefore, I'm going to have to believe you. How do I do this?" And so as I was praying about it and thinking about it, I would start fighting it more. So guess what happened when I fought it more? It flared up more. It was resisting me. So then I finally said this. I said, you know what? Lord, it's weird how these things just come out of your heart. They just come out of your heart. I said, Lord, I know this one's got to come out. But this one, I'm believing this one be totally restored and that it's going to be completely fine and that all the signs of it are going to be gone. Why? Because this one flared up way more than this one did. And so I said, I'm going to believe for this one. I go by and I'm doing my days and everything, okay? And I'm going along and I'm rebuking and doing the things and just kind of speaking over my body and going, oh, no, it's getting about the time. Oh, and I got these little signals on when it's going to happen. Listen how it's controlling my life, you guys. Are you hearing this? So it's controlling my life. I'm making preparations for it. And I'm realizing that this thing is owning me. So I did this. I'm going to go to the dentist and have it jerked out. Everybody's telling me I got to have it jerked out. So I'm going to learn how to chew somewhere else in my mouth. I'm just going to have to go and get this thing jerked out of my mouth. Because it's bothering me from time to time. Am I in pain? No, but it's still this sickness, this fever runs through my body. So I go to the dentist. And the dentist says, okay, we're going to schedule an appointment to pull this tooth out. Is it bothering me now? No. Guess what? Ever since the day I went to the dentist, I've had no more signs of pain or anything. Why? Because I decided I was going to jerk it out. Is that demonic or what? So now he doesn't have any point to bother me because he's convinced I'm going to do it because I really am. So I'm at the dentist. And I'm saying, so this one up here, you know what? What's going on with this one? This one's attached to a bridge and it's a big deal. He goes, there's nothing there. I go, you looked at the x-rays? He goes, yeah, there's nothing there. That one's totally fine. He looked at it, he goes, I wouldn't touch that. That's great. That's a good, strong tooth. There's nothing wrong with it at all. This light went in me. Ding. Ding. What happened? I convinced in my heart that this one's going to be healed, but this one's going to have to be taken out. That was the real belief in my heart. When I went to the dentist, he told me the very thing that I was actually believing for. Are you with me? So here's the thing, what I'm trying to say in all of this. There's an earthly way of thinking. There's an earthly perspective, just a natural wisdom. The Bible says natural wisdom is earthly. It's sensual. It's of the five senses. And it's demonic. It's of the devil. Because it's of the five senses. It's not eternal. It's temporary. It's not based on the foreverness of who we are. So when your heart, when you can actually believe God, when you can actually believe what you're saying out of your mouth, you will get those results. And I tell you what, you never quite know when it's going to come. Like when I looked in that weightlifting mirror, all of a sudden, it was just there. And boom, I was a weightlifter. And I go, I don't want to be a weightlifter. I just want to get in shape. I'm not going to be one of those guys. And I stopped exercising. I'm going to go back, you guys. Promise. Can I give you one more testimony? Am I boring you? You good? All right, this is about my house. Pastor Trey reminded me of it today. We were talking about some stuff. Let me help you with this. I found a house, my wife and I found a house, and we wanted it, and we loved it, and it was great. By the way, the Lord's done that with two houses. The first house that I got, I wrote out on a piece of paper what I wanted. I described it. I said, I want a house close to my girlfriend's house so that when she goes to the work, where she was a nurse, I could help with her daughter, taking care of her daughter, so it didn't have to pay for daycare. So I wanted to live in the neighborhood. I wanted it to be in the county because the county taxes are cheaper than the city taxes, but she lived in the city. I wanted it to have waterfront. I wanted to have a creek or something in the backyard, real water flowing through, okay? And I didn't want to pay any money down for it. I wanted it to be an owner contract. I didn't have to get financing for it, okay? And I said what I wanted, and I wrote it out, and I went about my way. I sold real estate. Within like 2 weeks, I noticed this house in the neighborhood. And I drove by and I saw people activity that it wasn't normal activity for that house. And I said, what's going on here? And they said, yeah, the owner, our brother, he died. And so we're the heirs and we have to deal with his estates. And I said, is this house for sale? They go, yes, but we have somebody that wants to buy it. I said, well, when that deal falls through, I want to talk to you about it. Did you hear what came out of my mouth? When that deal falls through, I want to talk to you about it. Here's my name and number. They go, well, it seems pretty good. I said, here's my name and number. Guess what? A week later, they called me. Well, Robert, that deal fell through. We'd like to talk to you about it. So I said, all right, and we met up. Here's what he said. He said, it's a double lot, so it's a big piece of property. Is that okay with you? Yes, that's okay with me. It's got the creek in the backyard, so you're going to have to be dealing with water. Is that all right? You don't know who can walk down by it, you know, because it's open to everybody, fishermen and things like that. Is that going to be okay with you that it's there? Yes, that's going to be all right. And it's in the city of Milwaukee, but it's actually Clackamas County zoned. They just cut out this one little piece for this property and the next door neighbor's property, and they're in the county. They're not in the city limits. Is that okay with you? Yeah, I can handle that. That's fine. You know, by the way, since it's a probate house and we're selling it, we don't want any interest. Do you mind if you make only principal payments to us with no interest? Because we don't want to have to pay taxes on the interest. Okay. So he says, all right, we can fill out the paperwork. And I said, what about a down payment? He goes, no, you don't need any down payment. We'll just trust you for that. Okay. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is great. How is this going to happen? Okay, no down payment. And they call me up a week later. We're getting ready to do it all. And they go, we talked to our attorney and we ran it by our attorney. And the attorney says everything's good except one thing. We have to charge you a down payment. Why? Because I couldn't believe I wouldn't get it without a down payment. So he charged me $1,500. Can you pay $1,500? Yes. Okay, Lord, because I spoke, I'll make up for it. I'll pay the $1,500. I got this house. I fixed it all up. I had it for a few months, and I made like $27,000 on it when I sold it, and I moved. It was everything that I asked for. Boom, boom, boom. Because I just asked without even thinking about it otherwise, right? Set that house aside. Here's another house. Me and my wife, huh? Because I moved to another state. I was working up in Issaquah, Washington, and I had this house, and I wasn't living in it, and I was working up there. And so I wanted to go to Bible college in Colorado, so I had to get my ducks in a row to be able to go to Bible college in Colorado. And so I sold it. Anyway, so then that's another thing. I won't digress. This house I have now, do you know what? Me and my wife, we found this house and we loved it, and it was a wreck. And the yard was a mess, it was clear cut, but we wanted it. It was in a great place, it had a lot of potential, and we had our hearts really set on it. And we wanted to get this house, and it fell through. And I thought, God, we wanted this house and we were believing you for this house. How come it fell through? You know what? We really believe. I can see myself living here. I can see myself cleaning it up. I can see myself making it really great. But there was a little bit of something in me that didn't quite love it like you should love it. But I wanted to be in the house. The house fell through. We didn't get it. And I was heartbroken. And Pastor Trey said to me, he says, you know, Robert, maybe that's not God's best for you. Maybe God has something better for you. I couldn't receive it at that moment because it was like, I really wanted this one. But he said, it'll pass and God will give you the right house. And he gave an example of one that happened to him like that. I said, okay. We went and looked at 17 houses in one weekend. We looked at every single thing on the market. And I was very disappointed. Everything had a problem with it in some way. Or we'd ask for it in a price range that we felt good about and they wouldn't be able to take it in our price range. So it wasn't working. This is what I did. I said, Lord, we've got to be in this area because we like this part of town and this part of town, but we want to be in the country and we still need to be able to come to this church. So we need to be in this area right here and we need to have some land. Doreen wants 5 acres. I say 2 to 20 is fine with me. So we got to have land and I got to have a garage, at least 2-car garage. At least a 2-car garage. And then we got to have at least 2 bathrooms. Because if my wife is one in a bathroom and I got to go, I want to be able to go, you know. I don't want to be fighting over a bathroom. So it's like we need at least 2 bathrooms. And so we're looking and looking and can't find anything. And I just really got serious with the Lord. I go, Lord, I know you want us to have a house, and we've got to have these requirements. What do we do? And he put it on my heart to check out this house that I said no to earlier because the grass was too much grass. There's too much yard. I didn't want to mow all that grass. And so I didn't ever even look at it, never even told my wife about it. Just wasn't even on my list. And he brought it back to my attention and said, go look at this one. I'm going, what? So me and my wife, we drive out there one evening. It's about 5 o'clock in the evening. And we drive out there and we sit in the driveway. And you know what? This warm, fuzzy joy just filled us both. We walk around. She goes, this is the house that we want. And you know what? It's the house that we have now. And to this day, we still thank God that we scored and got such a great deal. Because Pastor Trey was right. It wasn't God's best for us. But by believing God and staying with it, we did get his best. Relating to healing. Relating to the tooth. Once you're convinced that it's yours, you just got to lay hold of it. Whatever it is. But you need to be convinced that it's yours, that you're entitled to it, and that God wants you to have it. That there's no problem with that. And when you really get that settled, then you can go get yours, whatever it is. Are you with me? It's very real that way. It's very real. You've got to be able to believe that it's yours and available for you to take it. Amen. Are you here? Amen. Well, I think I'm going to wrap up with that. There's some more I can go into, but I don't want to change channels on you. I just want to pray. Is that okay? Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you're working inside of each one of us, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the testimonies that we've been hearing of individuals that are pressing in, laying hold of the truth, walking in your truth, and that it's manifesting in our lives, Lord. Father, I thank you for Judy and Grant's testimony, Lord Jesus, Elijah's testimony, for Betty Jean's testimony, and so many others, Father, that have been able to share the results that they're getting. Lord, I just ask you to wake us up to the fact that you show us pictures on the inside of us, that you whisper to us, that your word speaks to us, and that we can trust and rely on it and get those results in our lives today. Father, I ask you to also open up the eyes of our hearts that we would understand what great wealth of power that we do have residing on the inside of us. That, Father, it is unmeasurable. And as we meet people in our lives that don't know you and have no understanding of you, Lord, to them, we are loaded with power. That when we pray for them, we see things manifesting, Lord. Father, I ask that you would wake us up to that very thing to be able to work in ourselves, Lord, as we resist the enemy and as we walk out these long-standing issues that we've had, Lord Jesus, that you renew our mind that the devil has no right to put that on us and that we don't walk according to the principles of this world that say, well, you're getting older, you're just going to have to deal with it now. Well, when you get older, your body starts breaking down. Just because the world says that stuff, you said to not let that stuff dominate us, but that Christ should dominate us, the anointed one, and that we should live according to Christ and not according to this world's idea of what the truth is. Lord, I thank you that you are rising your spirit inside of each and every one of us, Father. That the truth and the reality that we are your sons and your daughters and we operate spiritually, Lord, is waking up inside of us, Lord. More and more faith, more and more belief, more and more experiences, more and more proving the reality that you are true and that the things of natural men are lies, Lord. Even though it seems true in this world, it is not true according to Christ. And Father, I thank you that we are learning how to love one another. We're learning how to include one another. We're learning how to identify with one another so that we can encourage, edify, and build up each other, Lord. So that we can start getting the same results that you get, Lord. Jesus, we just trust you to be yourself in us. Holy Spirit, we give you free reign in our lives. Father, I just thank you for your goodness, that you've given this to us as a gift, and we appreciate you. So, Father, now I ask for opportunities. Opportunities for each and every person here, Lord, that you would bring someone in our path, you would bring situations up, that we can share the love of God and who we are. Just like Judy praying for her husband's knee, how the pain went away right then, and the nodule dissipated. And Elijah, Father, how he did natural wisdom of the doctors and spiritual wisdom on speaking your word, Father, and got your results. Father, we're not putting it on anybody that they have to do it this way or that way. We're just saying that you're going to show us the way that we should go and the way that we should do it. And when we do what you show us to do and we say what you tell us to say, we get your results, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunities that are coming for us to step out in faith and to get those results in Jesus' name. Amen.